Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us today on the Ideas Network. We'll be talking about transitioning those outdoor plants inside. Liz Freemuth back with us. She provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Ho. And, of course, she will have some advice for all your other fall gardening tasks as well. And if she doesn't have the answer, probably Jill Nadeau does. Jill's with me right now. Hi, Jill. We're in our fall member drive, and your support, of course, is the foundation of funding for programs here at WPR. It's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great discussions on gardening and everything else. And Jill's with me to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on. How do you do it? Well, you go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552. Isn't that right, Jill?
That is correct, Larry, and we will be repeating that a lot so people get that written down. And thank you to everyone who gave last hour. So appreciated. Right now, we have a goal of 25 gifts.
25 gifts. All right. These goals are important. Yeah, I like 25. It's a nice number. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Federal and state tax dollars provide important funding for WPR programs, which do come from listeners like you. But voluntary listener support is actually the biggest percentage of support for WPR programs.
So you make the difference. You make the quality, the variety, the independence of programs on WPR possible. And because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the program you listen to. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to WPR before, here's what to expect. It's a very short process. It takes just a few minutes. You answer some basic questions, your name and address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay it.
And that's pretty much it. Make that first donation to WPR. You'll feel good about it because listener support is such a great part of what makes WPR happen. I know many first-time donors give $10 a month or $120. That amount really up to you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. I'm originally from North Carolina, and there, public radio was very much part of my life. And so about 6 years ago, I came to southeastern Wisconsin to be closer to my family. And one of the things that my daughter told me before I got here was, Mom, you're going to love WPR. And she was right.
All the credit is mine for introducing my mother to WPR. Probably one of the better things I've done for you, huh, Mom? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Make your contribution today because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click donate.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs, including this Garden Talk program, going strong. And I don't care if your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month. We appreciate it, and we certainly count on your gift.
Absolutely. And we know you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio just takes a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Very quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a couple of minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right. And we've got about a little more than 45 minutes to go this hour, and we're looking for 24 more people to join in. Remember, you make WPR possible when you give. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the WPR pint cups.
Ooh.
Are they pint? They're a pint. Yeah.
They're a pint.
They're a pint. Put your beer in it. Maybe your coffee. Perfect for your favorite beverage.
Yes.
Wine. I guess you could put some wine in there too. Oh, that's $20 a month or more. And just ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Does anybody ever make a comment about this when they make a contribution?
Oh, I think they do, Larry. In fact, Sally in Mequon says, times are troubling right now, and Larry reminds us that we still have gardens to tend, apples to pick, and the great outdoors to enjoy. How true is that? And, you know, Maury in New Glarus says, now more than ever, we benefit from growing some of our own food and enjoying the wildness of our beautiful state. Thank you, Larry, for your nurturing topics and guests. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that is really cool. You know, their gifts were powerful. And, you know, as you're listening to that, your gift is powerful too. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thanks if you've already contributed. If you haven't, why not do it right now? Love to have it. You can do it while we listen to Liz Freemuth talk, as a matter of fact. Liz, back with us, she provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Hoe. And Liz Freemuth, welcome back.
Oh, thanks so much for having me again.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Liz. I really appreciate it. So let's talk about plants you want to bring inside. What plants are good candidates for bringing inside?
To me, almost anything if you're willing to put the work into it. But let's go with some of the easy ones because otherwise it can get pretty, pretty intense. So if you're looking at some of those lovely plants that you put in your containers early in the summer, tropicals are great candidates for bringing in and overwintering in the house. So what we're looking at, you know, we can kind of divide it by what type of plant. So we'll look at tropicals first. Right now, with our temperatures lowering at night, it's a good time to start transitioning those into the indoors. And how you want to do that really depends on what your goal is to have them in the house. Tropicals actually can make good houseplants over winter. It will take you a little bit of time to transition into the house by moving them back and forth a little bit at a time to get them used to the change in light, the change in conditions. So you want to leave them outside, then bring them in at night if you can, and then do that for a couple of weeks, transitioning them into the house more than they're outside. And also you can actually add some artificial light too. So get some grow lights on them, and that'll help out that transitioning phase. And really, when the temps start to get to 50 or below at night, those tropicals need to get out of the outdoors. That's the time that that temperature is when they will signal that it's time to be done. That's it. So, you know, tropicals, yeah, we can start working on those now. Northern Wisconsin should have done that already. and so if you haven't, kind of get on that one as fast as you can. A lot of the annuals, too, you can bring in and overwinter. It's easier if they're the leafy annuals, so coleus, some of the, like the Alternanthera, that, you know, is a tropical slash annual for us, but acts more of like an annual. And those you can bring in, you can do cuttings and bring them in. Dusty Miller people like a lot outside. That can easily be overwintered, kind of dormant in the basement, and then bring them out for next year for planting. So it kind of depends on what you're looking at. And you can bring some perennials in, but if they're not hardy for our area, you're going to do that every year. You're not going to be able to bring them in the house and then put them outside and they're going to overwinter. So if that's something you want to do year after year, then get a non-hardy perennial. A hardy perennial, why would you bring it in? You just leave it outside. So so those are really kind of the ones I look at. Ivies, you know, a lot of people have decorative ivy that they've put into their containers. You can dig that out, repot it, and bring them back into the house. And, you know, a lot of people probably have heard already that in order to really make sure that you don't have a lot of insects coming in, it's kind of maybe put it in quarantine. So like the rest of us, your plants are going to go in quarantine slightly. Put them in a spot where you can kind of watch the activity that's coming out of the pot. So a heated garage or a laundry room or a space in the basement that's not too cold that you can kind of watch over a couple of weeks. Put the grow lights on them, you know, so that they get the light. You don't want them to be without that. And make sure you continue to water them and all of that. Watch what happens. Watch what comes out of the soil. If you start to see that you've got some critters making some moves, then you want to appropriately identify what critter it is that you have and then get a house-safe treatment for that. Don't use your outside chemicals on insects that you're treating in the house. That's kind of key. So, you know, to do that, you can, and often in the house, you can use an insecticidal soap, and that will work on quite a few insects. The hard-shelled ones, no. So if you've got hard-shelled scale on plants, that you're going to have to treat differently. But if you've got any kind of soft body insects, often suffocating them with an insecticidal soap will work.
Lots of good advice there. Mike in Minocqua has a question. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call.
My question is about watering. In June, early June, I planted some trees in my area up here north, and mostly pines, like tamarack and spruce and so forth. And I was watering them pretty regularly, and then we had a lot of rain, and then now it's been dry for a while. So at this time of year, is it good to keep watering them, or these are new trees, you know, babies?
Yeah.
So is it good to keep watering them now, or do I let them get a little bit more dormant now?
No. Your excellent question, and so important, especially on newly planted trees. And trees in general, and evergreens specifically, they really need this water this late in the year. So it's a great thing that you're thinking about them, because this is crucial. They need to really store up as much water as possible in their systems to get through the winter. And, you know, especially up in Minocqua, that you do get some really cold temps, some nice winds up there. We call them quote-unquote nice. And those winds during the winter will suck moisture out of the needles of the evergreen. And so if there's no reserves in that system going into winter, that's where you start to see a lot of needle desiccation in the spring, where you've got brown, dry needles or red needles, you know, whichever color they're going to turn. And so getting that moisture into that tree system all the way up through hard freeze on the ground. So we're talking, yes, continue to do that.
Yeah.
You're looking at an inch to 2 inches of water, the equivalent of an inch to 2 inches of rainwater. So you kind of have to guesstimate most of the time when you're hose watering, but that is a considerable amount of water that those trees need right up to where the ground freezes solid. So perfect question, great time to continue to water those babies and get them through the winter perfectly.
And Mike, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Liz Freemuth, our guest today. Jill Nadeau will be joining us through the show from time to time because it's our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. And I think she snuck back in. And
yes,
are
I
you
did,
there?
Larry. I certainly am.
I thought I heard you sneaking in. Well, listen, as you listen to Jill and I talk, remember that your support's an essential piece of the funding for all the programs that you enjoy on WPR. Listener support's the biggest source of funding. So this is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible, the shows like Garden Talk. So just go to WPR.org, make your contribution, or phone 888-202-2552.
That's right. You've heard of action movies. This is action radio.
Yes, it is.
We've got about 40 minutes to left to this hour, and we're still looking for 17 more people to join in. So please give us a hand. When you give, you fund the Larry Mueller Show and all the other WPR programs that you count on. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think one of the coolest things about Garden Talk is that the master gardeners in Wisconsin can get continuing education credit for listening to Garden Talk. And I think that just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is to listeners like you. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert like Joe or a novice like me.
Right. I don't know, Larry. I think you got a little more experience than I do. Just a bit. You know, we have some of the best gardening resources to answer your questions. And most of the people we have on live right here in Wisconsin. So whether it's about fruit trees or organic gardening, rose bushes, or today, like bringing in your plants for the winter, apply some fertilizer to the program right now by making your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can become a sustainer as well. You can choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or maybe from your credit card, and it'll continue for as long as you'd like.
That's right, because WPR is one of those things that you never want to live without. So make your support ongoing with a sustaining gift. It's convenient and flexible, too. So get started by giving $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, stay hydrated with a pair of WPR pint cups. Whether it's iced coffee or just some ice water, these steel, clean canteen cups are the perfect way to enjoy your favorite beverage and show off your WPR pride. What's your favorite drink?
A nice, ice-cold bourbon barrel stout.
A deep, rich red wine.
Okay, the good answer is pink lemonade, but my guilty favorite, cherry Pepsi. Don't tell anyone.
Ask for your pair of WPR pint cups today with your gift of $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Just give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for WPR. That's why your support during this drive is so important. And maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And when 14 more people join in the next 35 minutes or so, we will meet our goal. You know, these hourly goals are set to make sure that we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So please make your donation now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now's the time. Give right now. While you're thinking about it, just takes a few minutes to contribute. You'll have the good feeling of supporting the programs you love. See what that's like right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
That's right. Support Wisconsin Public Radio. And don't forget to ask for your pair of WPR pint cups. With coordinating geometric designs, you'll love your WPR, or I'm sorry, your love for WPR will be on full display with every sip. It sounds like I've been sipping from those right now, but I haven't. They're yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sometimes we call Jill the WPR pothead because she's got, I think, 10 pots of cactus growing in the office. And
succulents, Larry. Succulents.
She gets confused once in a while. But anyway, your gift right now is important at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. If you've given already, thanks so much. If you haven't, do it right now.
Absolutely. And remember, like Tony in Wausau says, he feels so enriched by WPR. Kate Archer Kent and Larry Mueller are the best of the best. So knowledgeable, engaging, and able to bring out the best from any guest. And Susan from Bloomington says, I love Larry and his expert guests. It is so refreshing to hear warm, down-to-earth discussion on practical topics that affect all our lives. So true.
So true and so important at WPR.org to make your gift or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Liz Freemuth, who provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Hole. Lots of callers online. So let's take a call from Cliff in Poinette next. Hi, Cliff.
Hi, Larry. I usually tell people, hi, I'm Cliff, drop over sometime. but for your guest, even in the fall, my brother and I were up in Canada, and he had his macro photography going, and he called me over to look at this little tiny flower. The flower was only a quarter inch in size, a little white flower. And he said, look at that little speck of dirt on the petal of one of its leaves. And I looked at it, and it looked like a little speck of dust. Then he said, now look through the camera. And I looked through the camera, the macro lens, and it was the smallest sweat bee I ever saw in my life. Here was this little, dinky, tiny, tiny little pollinator on that flower petal. It was the tiniest sweat bee I ever saw. You couldn't see it with the naked eye, but when you looked at it through the macro lens, here was a little tiny sweat bee. And so we have pollinators that are so tiny that we don't realize, even all the way through till fall. And I just wanted to see what your guests would say about that.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Comment, Liz.
Yeah, you know, we cannot underestimate the power of our pollinators this time of the year. One of the most, and that is so awesome that even way up north, they're still busy as the proverbial little bees. Thank goodness. Because that's really what keeps our plant world and subsequently us alive, is to keep those pollinators happy. And so right now, one of the greatest pollinator plants that I've seen in the last couple of weeks is Calamintha. It's in the mint family. Doesn't spread horribly like mint. It's got beautiful white flowers on it, and the bees are just happy. At one place that I was at in the last couple of weeks, you could easily count 6-8 different insects swarming around, happy, you know, just doing their job, getting the last food in for the winter for themselves. So it's just fantastic. The more we can plant to keep those pollinators happy in fall, the better off we are.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to Bill in Racine. Bill, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. I've got I generally don't water the lawn to keep it green.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a time period here, you know, where it was quite dry. And I thought, well, it went dormant. And it evidently, okay, then it started raining. It didn't turn green. I've got about two or three areas like this. They're about 5 feet by 6 feet. All the rest of it turned pretty green, or at least recovered. And I went out there, since it didn't turn green, now it's dry again. I started raking this very vigorously to get the dead grass out.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have more dead grass there, I think. I mean, it's straw colored. And Mike, here's the question. How do I prepare this area for reseeding?
Okay. You know, it could be a number of fungal problems that could cause that, whether it's now or earlier in the season. And it could have been that you had an issue, some sort of a pathogen on that turf, and it was weak when the heat hit, and yeah, everything did go nicely dormant. It didn't have enough oomph to withstand that additional pressure. So I think what you would want to do is, if you still have some of that dead around the dead areas around there, you might want to see if you can send that to the turf grass clinic, or take it to an extension office and see if they can give you a hand with identifying what pathogen it is that caused that, so that if it's something that you would need to treat the area before you reseed, that would be step one. Because otherwise, if you're going to reseed and you've got an active pathogen in that area, you might just infect your new seeding. And so I would do that as soon as possible, because you want to get an answer as soon as you can. Now, to prep the area, if you don't have a pathogen that's active and could potentially cause issues, then what I would say is you need to rough that area up. So you take a nice rake. You don't need to dig it up. You just need to remove all of that dead material that's there. Then rake it up with a metal landscape rake, not, you know, a leaf rake, but a nice metal landscape rake. Get that roughed up so that you can get your seed down and get good soil to seed contact. And then you can cover it with, you know, some people like to use a straw, clean marsh hay or something like that. But you can also use peat moss and, you know, go and pick up some good peat moss and just sprinkle over that area so that you're holding in that moisture and that the contact of soil, moisture, and seed is pretty well ingrained. And then it's just making sure that you keep that damp enough for that seed to sprout. And we're at the perfect time and the weather's good to get that seeding done now. So again, I would identify whether you've got an active issue that needs resolution before you seed, or, you know, if you're comfortable with just reseeding, then go for it. And you should start to see seed poking up within, I would say, 7 days. And really within a couple of weeks, you'll be able to mow that. And, you know, really you won't see much of a difference past next year. Then also, when you're looking at lawns that were under stress, especially in fall, you really cannot ignore that Halloween fertilizer application. That is an excellent time to put down a winter type fertilizer so that your turf has got something to feed on early in the season. If you wait until spring to put that down, you need that fertilizer to break down and start interacting before with the soil in order for that turf to pull it out. You get it down now and that turf has something there right away when it starts to grow.
There you go, Bill. Thanks a lot for calling. Let's take a call from Carol in Trigo. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Can you hear me, Larry?
Yeah, go ahead.
Great. I hope your donations are coming in like crazy, because you're a great show to listen to. My question for you and Liz this morning is that I need to clean out a flower bed that has a lot of phlox and daylilies in it, and I'm wondering if this is a good time to transplant them. I would give them to a neighbor if they were.
Yeah, really, those are two very tough plants, and now is an excellent time. We still have enough time, fingers crossed, we have enough time for them to get their roots situated after transplanting. And that's really what you're looking at this time of the year, is doing a guesstimate. You know, we probably are looking at least another 6 weeks of decent warm soil temperatures, you know, where it's not down underneath 50 or so. And so if we continue to have some really pretty normal for us fall days, now is perfect. You can actually go in and do those right now and it'll be great.
There you go, Carol. I've got a little of that to do as well. So
I hear you. So do I. And I really wait for these kind of days, because this is, you know, wouldn't you rather be out in this making happy rather than when it's 92 degrees and humid?
Yep. Absolutely. Bill in Oregon has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Bill. Bill, are you there? Or do we lose Bill? Maybe we lost Bill. Let's go to Sharon in Berlin.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sharon. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a very healthy lawn, but it's very thick with thatch, I think, because we never pick up the grass when we mow. I'm still mowing every 5 or 6 days. And this is clay, but it sure grows everything. And should I dethatch now or should I wait for spring?
You can, you know, in my opinion, and I'm not a turf goddess, that's for sure. In my opinion, when you've got thatch on the ground, get it up. Because you really, it's not doing your turf any good by laying around. There is a level of, you know, like about a quarter of an inch or so that when you start getting above that, then you need to worry about it. If it's loose and just kind of hanging out and you can tell that it's, you know, like the last month's worth of grass that's just there and it's not creating any issues for you, then I would let it break down. But if you look at it and you've got a heavy layer of compacted, not quite decomposed grass blades that are just hanging around on that surface between soil and, you know, maybe halfway up the blade of grass, then you're really looking at potentially choking out some of your grass. So do you use, on your lawnmower, does it have a thatching blade or a thatching?
No, I have a person that comes in, he mows my lawn. I'm an old lady, and so I have it done, but it hasn't been dethatched for 3 years. And
So maybe ready.
I think it is, and right now is a great time for our cool season grasses to rebound from anything we're going to do. And if you're going to have it done, if this is something you choose to do, I would say do it within the next probably 3 to 4 weeks so that your grass has a chance to really rebound nicely before it starts dying back for winter. And I mean, you know, our turf grass, it will just tolerate an awful lot when it's happy, but you can give it a little comb and make it even happier yet.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Our guest today, Liz Freemuth, the owner of The Garden Ho. She provides concierge services across the country, as a matter of fact. I have to have her talk about some of her across the country experiences one of these times on the show. Great to have you listening in. It's our fall member drive. Jill Nadeau snuck back in and is lurking in the background to talk with you.
Lurking? I don't think I like that, Larry.
Well, she's there front and center, actually, because she wants to talk about how your support is such an essential piece of all the funding that we need for the Larry Mueller Show, for Garden Talk, and all the other programs you enjoy on WPR. This drive, your chance to take action, make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, we've got about 20 minutes or so left for the hour, and we're looking for 6 more people to join in. And thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't given, now would be a good time to do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy. Like
and
Garden
you know,
Talk.
That's right, like Garden Talk. And it's so nice to hear people like Liz on, who knows a little bit about or a lot about everything when it comes to gardening. So she's been answering your questions about transplanting phlox and thatching your lawn and when to put your seeds in. It's so nice. And it's such a benefit to everybody who listens. And, you know, their life is enriched by it. How is this unique? This is unique for public radio. Well, it's WPR is listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you and take a few minutes and make your gift.
You could even think about what you spend money on every day. A coffee, takeout. For Jill, it's more pots and flowers. It's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine, too. It's your news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you so much, Bea. You can go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support is so important to make these programs you rely on possible. And your gift may be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
That's right. We always ask you to give the amount that's right for you. And it is helpful to use a formula. Look at it this way. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad to hear. And if you paid a dime for each of those, that would work out to $10 a month. Now, if that math adds up for you, make a gift of $10 a month right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now's the time to give. Give right now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a couple of minutes to do it, and you're going to feel really good when you give that.
That's right. And we still need six people, and we've got, almost 15 minutes left. So please help us meet our goal. You can support the programs that you value, and you can also show off your WPR pride with WPR Pint Cups, perfect for your favorite beverage, indoors or out. Give $20 a month or more and ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is the time to give. And if you haven't given, please do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
And Sharon from Waukesha says, I enjoy listening to Larry and so many others. My mother always had you on when we were working in the kitchen. So many great personalities. And Mark in Beaverton, Oregon says, although I live on the West Coast, I listen to and support WPR because of all the Wisconsin-focused programming. Larry has the greatest guests and topics. So we get people from all over, Oregon and Germany and Australia, and you name it, they're all listening. And you help support that. And as like Laura and Petra says, when my children were young, you could hear their eyes rolling when WPR would invariably come on. And now at 22, my son calls me to tell me what he learned from Larry Mueller on Garden Talk. Love it. Love it.
Oh my goodness me. Well, here's the deal. Garden Talk and all the programs that you enjoy are made possible in part, in big part, from you, from listeners like you. If you haven't given yet, give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Liz Freemuth, provider of concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Whole. Questions, give a call, 800-642-1234, or email at ideas@wpr.org. Jared in McFarland has a question, so let's go there. Hi, Jared.
Hello there, Larry, Liz, and I'm glad to be on. So I have two questions. First one is my lawn, and I know I need to thatch listening to the previous caller. I have not put chemicals or Weed Be Gone or feed or seed or anything on for years, and the weeds are out of control. I want to know what specific, even a brand would be, what to put on this fall to, you know, combat those weeds for the spring.
Okay, yeah, see, that's not my area. as far as the chemicals go. Now, what I would suggest to you is you take a look at your lawn, and if you're looking at more than 50%, 60% weeds versus grass, you're talking about a little bit more major rejuvenation, which is going to take you more than just like one fall application to get through that weed population. So are you looking at more than that? Is it more weeds than it is grass?
I would say 50%, yeah.
50%, okay. So broadleaf weeds?
Yeah, I've got Creepin' Charlie, broadleaf weeds. I mean, yeah, okay. It's
a little of everything.
Yeah, okay. So are you the kind that absolutely has to do it yourself?
No, but I really didn't want like a lawn service that, you know, comes and sprays it. That's not my thing. I've always wanted to keep it near the pets and for the bunnies and squirrels and stuff. I didn't want to have chemicals on the yard, but I need to do something on the wrong way.
Okay, so what I would suggest to you, if you want to go as low chemical as possible and see what you can do, and especially if you're not like, I have to have it per, if you're not thinking, I have to have it perfect by April 1st, then we can do some small baby steps to maybe strengthen the lawn. And then you can look at using I'm not huge on chemicals on the lawn, quite honestly. To me, if I mow my lawn and it's green, I'm happy. And I know that's really heresy to turf people. But what I look at is strengthening your lawn. And the best thing you can do for your lawn, for your turf, is to get those fall applications of fertilizer down. It really does wonders. And if you can strengthen that turf grass, it will outcompete a lot of the weeds. Not all of them, but it will outcompete quite a few of them, and especially those annual weeds. And, you know, without seeing what kind of weeds, I mean, you said Creeping Charlie and some broadleaf, but are these, you know, are we looking at annual weeds? If we are, then definitely strengthening that turf is going to shade out the ability of those things to germinate. Creeping Charlie is a headache unto itself. And that is just a horrible, horrible weed to try and control. If you pull Creeping Charlie, it loves you even more. And yet our instinct is to pull that up out of the ground. But that, when you pull, it actually breaks those runners underground and creates more plants coming up. And so what I found with Creeping Charlie, especially if you're hands-on, it gets a little bit easier, is you just cut it really low to the ground with a weed eater or something like that without breaking the soil. And if you repeatedly do that, you can kind of send it into remission of sorts. It's never going to go away unless you dive bomb the lawn. It's just not going to go away. So if you can send it sort of away from you, so first step is to strengthen that turf. You strengthen that turf, and it's going to outcompete something that's weakened. If you weaken that Creeping Charlie by cutting it off short, you may actually get the lawn to kind of headbutt it and make it go away. Yeah. So that, you know, if you want to keep low chemical, give that a whirl. But then if it looks like you've got perennial weeds that are coming back, you may have to go with a broadleaf weed control. And that probably in the spring, I'm sure you can, you know, with the heat, we sort of put off doing some broadleaf weed control. If it's something that you really think needs to be taken care of this fall, you can find one to put down. But if they're, identify which ones they are. Annuals, you're doing it for nothing. If they're perennial weeds, you'll get some control this year. Fertilize Halloween, and then you should be in pretty good shape for next year.
There you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, we have Liz in Wausau has a large patch of goldenrod between her garden fence and the ditch. It's taking over. She left it for the bees, but she's now snapping off the stems at the base before it goes to seed. How can she get rid of it?
You know, if she does that for a couple of years, it will weaken it quite a bit. Now, if you go in there, and especially if it's the Canadian goldenrod, that will spread like crazy. So you can do that a couple of different ways. If you, for a few years, snap those things off or cut them, if they're not too woody stemmed, sometimes you can get in there with a weed eater and cut those back. And I know it's you've got them out for pollination, and it is that fine line between pollinating and dropping seed. You know, it's you're probably fighting a losing battle, and possibly what I would do is substitute, get rid of the goldenrod and put something else in that's going to act as a good pollinator, because as soon as the pollinators come, the seeds are going to start falling, and you may miss that and actually create more plants. So again, a few years snapping it off, you probably will get good control. If you catch them while they're young, they're easy to pull out of the ground. So it's just a matter of trying to get all of those roots out. But if you do that for a couple of years, you should actually be okay.
Should be okay. Very good question.
Famous last words. Should be okay.
Should be okay. Well, here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we should be okay, too. And we are doing pretty darn well, I think, when it comes to our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. But Jill Nadeau has insisted on coming back and talking with us again. So...
You can't get rid of me, Larry.
Can't get rid of her. I tell you what, you count on the Ideas Network for great discussions. It's your gift, any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your support is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, Larry, we only need three more to get to our goal. So three more in 5 minutes. And I know there are at least three people out there who haven't pledged yet, but been meaning to do it. So give us a call. Your gift is so important, because we know when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
Thank you. If you've already given, if you haven't, now's the time. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we get so much information on Garden Talk, especially this year when we have so many new gardeners. I'm sure that if they found us, they know how important it is and how much information that we can give. And we answer your questions. I think that's a wonderful service. And we're wondering, how has it enriched your life? How is public radio unique? Well, it is listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
And you can get your pair of WPR pint cups. So they're stackable, steel, clean canteen cups. They're perfect for everyday use or your next outdoor adventure. Jill's probably going to put some plants in hers. You can
No, there's no drainage, Larry.
Oh, no drainage. Okay.
No drainage. Can't do that. No.
Support the programs you value. Show off your love for WPR. It starts with your gift, $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I started listening when I was a grad student here in 1976. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. One reason I love listening is that I'm interested in a lot of different things, and WPR always has a lot of different things. I can hear everything from politics to gardening to travel information. I love just hearing that variety of things.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click donate. Thank you.
That's right. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you count on, like the Garden Talk Show. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support today of WPR keeps all our programs going strong. And whether you contribute $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Well, we have a couple more minutes left, Larry, and I'm happy to report that we made our goal. Woohoo!
All right.
But you know what? I love presents. I don't know about you. So if someone wants to give us more gifts, we are more than happy to take them. Make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every day.
WPR programs are listener powered, and that means that your donation right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I think one of the things that listeners may be wondering is, how much should I give? That's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs, programs that'll keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. When you do, you play an essential part in funding the programs you count on every single day.
That's right. You support WPR programs at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's so important.
And don't forget those pair of WPR pint cups. I keep thinking about a pint. I wish I had one of them in front of me right now. They're nice geometric designs, and your love for WPR will be on full display. So we're going to go away for a quick look at the news, but for now, that's a perfect time to make a contribution of $20 a month or more and get those pint cups. Otherwise, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make any contribution you want. Thanks for listening. Stay with us for Garden Talk. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Liz Freemuth. Back with us, she provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Hoe. Questions for her about your flowers, give us a call at 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Joan wondered about her hummingbird and burning bushes, Liz. She's wondering how far back she can prune those bushes. What do you think?
Usually the burning bushes, you can cut them back to the ground and they'll come back just fine. They're pretty tough that way. But it really depends on what you're looking at. Is this aesthetics? Is it, you know, do you have to worry about how it looks in the front of the house? But you can actually prune them back pretty far if you so choose. Now is not the time to do it. And I would say across the board, when we're looking at this point in the year, do not prune stuff. What you are setting up is a situation where if we get a long fall, it's that plant can try and regrow its tissue. And if you kind of look around, the heat that we had really made some plants drop their leaves and go into a dormancy of sorts. And right now, my Amelanchier or the Juneberry bushes have plumped buds on them because they dropped their leaves during the heat. And so what you don't want to do is cut a branch off of a plant that thinks it's coming out of dormancy and tries to shoot new growth on it, because I don't think we're going to have enough time before cold weather comes for that tissue to harden off sufficiently to make it through a tough winter, or even a normal winter really for us. So I would say if you're going to do that, you need to cut it back, wait until late winter to do that, and then take it off as far as you need to. If it's a single stem shrub, again, across the board, general info. If it's a single stem shrub, if you cut that back to the ground, it's going to take 3-4 years for it, if it's healthy enough, to shoot suckers up, if it has that tendency to do it and you've trained it to a single stem. So you do have to be a little careful about what the structure is before you take it all the way to the ground.
Joyce emailed in a picture of her dying lavender tree, wondering if she can revive her lavender tree. It only blossomed once. She followed the directions on the tag, but it only went downhill from there. The tag said it should bloom, and that looks like a goner to me.
Yeah, I looked at the picture, and that looks pretty much like a goner. What it looks like is that it was a root rot of some sort. So my questions for her would be, you know, and these are things that if you're purchasing a lavender tree, you want to take a look at right away. And Jill had mentioned it during the break, is that drainage. You have to have really good drainage, and lavenders are Mediterranean plants, so they like really good drainage. They like the moisture, but they like really good drainage. And if there was standing water around those roots, so if the pot was, and the picture that was shown is that there was a decorative lavender-colored pot around an interior pot. And if that in that exterior pot had no drainage holes in it, every time she watered the plant, the water sat, any excess water would sit in the bottom. And they don't like wet feet. So if they had wet feet, then that's really just going to lead to root rot issues. And but the only way you're going to be able to tell which one it is would be to send something to Brian at the lab in Madison. But at this point, it's pretty much a goner. And what you look for later, you know, if you're going to purchase something like this again, make sure the drainage is fantastic. And then also make sure that if it starts to look like it's going downhill, that you take it back to the place you purchased it right away. Because then they can replace it or at least know what's going on and help you get a better shot at getting it to live.
Yeah, good advice. Gail emailed, she knows we've talked about grow lights before, and they have worked for Limey for sure. Could you recommend some brands of grow lights, especially for keeping succulents over winter, Liz?
Brands, no. I really don't look at that. I'm one of those bargain shoppers, and as long as you're getting a good spectrum light, you know, one that you can actually get different colors on is really what you're looking for. And LED is fantastic because you don't get the heat with that. So look for an LED multi-spectrum light. If you're going to grow things like tomato plants in the house, then you want more red light. And so it depends on the plant. With succulents, you're looking at a broad spectrum light like you would get with sunlight. And so if you get one that you can kind of adjust which colors you're going to be feeding to your plant via that light, then you have the option of not just purchasing it for succulents, but anything else that you might choose to use it on. Again, broad spectrum, LED, and make sure that you're lighting your plants for an appropriate amount of hours per day. You don't want it too long. You can start to stress your plant that way, and you can actually take that coverage down. So if they've been outside, you want a lot of hours, you know, like what you would have outside. So right now we're looking from about 6 to 6, roughly, you know. Yep. So you would start with about 12 hours inside and then cut it back slightly. You don't want to take it back to 8, but, it, you know, somewhere around 9, 8, somewhere in there. That's what you're kind of aiming for, to have those lights on. And, you know, just kind of gradually cut it back half an hour at a time and get those acclimated to being indoors. And you should be fine.
Carol in La Crosse emailed. She has an area of native plants. And last year, all the butterfly weeds had orange flowers. And this year, she had several new butterfly plants shoot up, and the flowers were bright yellow. She's also wondering about her New England asters. Some are purple, some are bright pink. How does this happen?
It's the plant breeding. Now, let's look at the butterfly weed first. The yellow that she has, there's a beautiful yellow out, a yellow cultivar called Hello Yellow. And it has phenomenal flowering all along the stem. It doesn't look like your normal butterfly weed, the Asclepias. And it really is quite fantastic. So I wonder if she didn't get some form of that in with her plants. And you know, this seed could really have been found. I honestly don't know with that cultivar if it was a developed type or if it was a found. If it was one that was found, discovered, then it could be something that's coming off of a particular strain of butterfly weed somewhere, and she might have gotten it. But I'd say embrace it, love it. And
yeah.
they are wonderful pollinators no matter what color the butterfly weed is. And what was the other one?
The New England asters. Some are purple, some are bright pink.
You know, again, comes down to the breeding, and often it will come down to how they developed in the area that they developed. You know, certain colors will develop in soil pH and in growing conditions. And, you know, it's like us. Is my hair brown? Is yours blonde? You know, that's just how species develop. Some are pink, some are purple. If it is a bred color, then the breeders are going to be selecting out of plants that have already shown that propensity for that color. So if you want a bright pink and it's a bred cultivar, they're going to breed that down until they get the right pink for it. So again, comes down to hereditary like the rest of us.
Jessica emailed to, as a reminder, don't forget to, if you bring plants inside, to check with organizations like ASPCA to see if they're toxic to your pets. Also, be careful with any systemic insecticides you may be adding as a preventive, because of your pets. And that's good advice, I think.
I think so, too. That's absolutely fantastic advice. That's one thing that everybody should do that has plants and pets, whether the plants are inside or outside. Oftentimes we look at things that we're growing outside, and if I don't have a pet, then I'm not going to think about that. But someone who does should be thinking about it all the time, because there's so many things that can cause even just gastric issues that can lead to other problems for dogs if they're munching on plants. So dogs and cats. So absolutely wonderful advice. Always check.
And Sue in Sparta emailed wondering if you had any tips for how to keep a shrimp plant overwintering indoors.
Yeah, that's an interesting tropical plant, and we've seen more and more of those coming up north. When you're in the southern area, especially down in Florida, they're really quite common and can get shrub size almost there. But we're lucky if we get a good foot to 18 inches off of some of the bred cultivars. So what you're looking at doing is, if it's in a pot with other plants, you want to get that out. And now is a perfect time to be doing that. You dig it out of the pot, and I would have clean, good indoor houseplant potting soil in a clean and disinfected pot ready to go, and you can rinse the soil off of it, immediately get that into your potting mix, dampen it down, and then get it, you know, start transitioning it into the indoors. And, you know, I've said transitioning 1,000 times, and there's a reason for that. Transitioning your plants means that you have to move them slowly. If you don't, then what's going to happen is sometimes they can completely and totally die off on you, but otherwise they'll just drop all their leaves and make their displeasure with you immediately known. Sometimes they come back just fine, and sometimes they are so displeased with their humans that they just do not come back. So transitioning slowly is a good way to do that, either with lights, or if you don't have the ability to have lights, just move it indoors to a bright window. Keeping in mind that even a sunny, direct sun window is going to give you about 85% less light than being outdoors does, even in a sunny window. So you do need to keep that in mind and give it a chance to move. And what that transitioning does is it allows the cell structure to change over. So that's why when we talk about transitioning, it's not just, you know, for a feel-good thing. What you're looking at is moving the cell structure from smaller and deeper to wider and more shallow so that it can take in more light.
That's why a lot of those leaves drop, and they're replaced. The new leaves are the better leaves for indoors, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so those cells elongate and get shallower, and they've got more surface area to take light in. And so if you don't give them the chance to move that structure on its own by transitioning it slowly, then it will drop the leaves. And as you said, if it's going to come back, it'll come back with leaves that can adapt to the light that it's given. So that's why transitioning is really, really important. And if you can do that with lights, with artificial light, great. If not, just do it slowly. So, and, you know, changing the soil out on things that you're bringing in the house to a mix that is sterile is a good idea, because you'll get a lot less issues. I am raising my hand and saying, yes, I'm suffering from fungus gnats from soil that I transplanted some stuff with, and now I've got fungus gnats to deal with. So don't, you know, go with the sterilized mix. Life is good.
And speaking of transitioning, Liz Freemuth, our guest today. Liz, it's always great to have her with us. And I really appreciate, Liz, you being with us every other month or so on the Ideas Network. It's always a lot of fun, for sure. She provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Hoe. And transitioning in for the moment here is Jill Nadeau, and she's
Hi.
Here. Hi, Jill. Well, fancy meeting you here.
I know, what a surprise, right?
As you listen to Jill Babylon, I want you to remember that you rely on the Ideas Network for interesting discussions and hearing Jill giggle. And we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong, don't we, Jill?
We do. And, you know, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've already renewed or making ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, a big thanks to you. I know that listeners who renew, and also the monthly sustainers, are really kind of the backbone of WPR.
They certainly are. And, you know, if you haven't given yet, please consider joining the thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network keeps you informed and entertained every day. You enjoy certainly Garden Talk and all the other programs, and maybe Chapter a Day as well, or Science Friday, or many others that you've come to rely on.
That's right. WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. So support the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy on the Ideas Network with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can ask for your pair of WPR pint cups, and you can raise your pint to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Hey, they're clean canteen cups. They're perfect, I think, for showing off your WPR pride, whether enjoying your favorite beverage outside or hydrated throughout the day. You need to contribute $20 a month or more to get those pint cups at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right. And you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio every day, probably. Well, you know how it is important to you. And you know what? I'll bet you want it to be here for the next generation, too.
Yeah, they should have access to that same quality news and information, the music and entertainment that enriches your life day in and day out. Your gift is the building block for a stable future.
That's right. Invest in quality radio for yourself and for the next generation so they can listen to Larry, too. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've never given to WPR before. Today you can find out how it feels. Does it feel good, Jill?
It feels great. And I'm a sustainer. I love that. Because when you give, you'll be supporting something that you love, too, something that you use and rely on every day. And because the largest source of funding for WPR comes from listeners like you, you can know that your donation truly makes a difference. So make your very first gift of maybe $100 or $10 a month or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it.
sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like to buy my dryer sheets locally, as a matter of fact.
Shop local. Yes,
shop
agree,
local.
Larry.
And we're Absolutely. Your local support here at Wisconsin
we
Public
are.
Radio. By golly. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support, we keep saying, it's the biggest source of funding for us. And that's why your support during this member drive is so important. And maybe the gift is $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And giving to WPR is super simple. All you need is your name. I'll bet you know that. Your contact information. I bet you know that too.
Yeah.
And the amount of your gift and how you'd like to pay.
Just takes a few minutes to make your contribution to WPR. And those few minutes fund your daily listening, like this Garden Talk program. Your support right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, everyone should just make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Yeah, maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family
right.
phone plan. Mm-hmm. Listening to, yeah. And it's, you know, WPR is something you listen to every day, I'll bet. Put a value on it like the other things that are important to you. And then just go and make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month, and some give $100 or more a month.
They do indeed, but whatever the
yes.
amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong. So, what the heck? Give right now. Whatever amount feels right to you, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
That's right. And maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like, hey, I've done what my part, okay? But, hey, you're listening right now, and it's still your continued support that keeps WPR going.
That's the perfect time to renew if you haven't done this. It's been a while
it
since
is.
You donated.
Mm-hmm.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and we'll be glad to have you back.
We will, absolutely, because WPR is listener-powered. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Jill and I and Jane and Natalie and Tyler, we all have a lot of fun on this program. We enjoy working with you. We love hearing from you, and we love having you as part of our day. I hope you'll take a minute right now. Your gift is so important. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 if you've already given. Thank you so much. If you haven't, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and you will be glad you did. I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. You're listening to the Ideas Network.